Well, I'm afraid that's it for Exploration. Once again, this is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics at City College and the Graduate Center of the City University of New York. And our special guest today was John Brinster, talking about God, spirituality, Einstein. What does physics say anything about this great universe of ours? According to Newton, Galileo, Einstein, and now Stephen Hawking. So once again, if you want a copy of today's program, call the Pacifica Program Service at 1-800-735-0230. That's 1-800-735-0230 for a copy of today's program. Good day.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K2H2BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Our goal is to create an atmosphere devoid of genre, a place where quality is key. It's important for the world and future generations to understand the power of art and music. Ultimately, we are doing our part to carry on tradition. Tune into Passing Sound, the first Saturday of each month at 10 p.m. on KBOO Community Radio 90.7 FM, or KBOO.FM, where we make musical structures for the
listener. You can follow KBOO on all your social media platforms. Just look for KBOO on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Get access to our new content and news, as well as special offers and contests. Like and share your favorite community radio station, KBOO.
KBOO.
Welcome to the Global Sales Show on the first Wednesday of each month at 7 p.m. My name is TK Kapura, and I'm your host this evening. If you just joined us, thank you for listening in and welcome aboard. You're listening to the Global Sales Show on KBOO Portland. Before we dive into our interview, into our discussion this evening, not an interview, I want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. I'm an immigrant myself. I'm from Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is a country in southern Africa. It's a tiny country, almost the size of the state of Oregon, and is found in the southern part of the map of Africa. I'm going to talk a little more about this country because that's where I come from, and also just for awareness, community awareness and education. Zimbabwe was once a free independent state where nations lived in peace as communities. People just lived as community people in their villages. There were no cities or no towns by that time in the ancient, before the 1800 period. So people would just live and farm on their lands and just live their ordinary lives, raise their livestock, chickens, cows, horses, donkeys. They would just keep their animals and just make a living out of farming and mining for their own small-scale community purposes. That was in the 1800s. So around 1890, that's when the colonial system got into our land through the British. So when the British came, they defined the borders of our land to become Zimbabwe, and we're separated from our neighbors by colonial demarcation of these lands. So we became a colony of Britain until 1980. So from 1890 to 1980, we were a colony. And during that almost 100 years of colonial history, a lot happened. The systems were changed. Many other things came in. There was a lot of disenfranchisement, many of other things that were lost, and discrimination, segregation, many other things, race-based, and many other factors like tribes being divided for the betterment of the colonial system and many other things. So tonight I'm just going to be focusing more on what makes Zimbabwe what it is today. So from that country that was called Mashonaland, we had the name Rhodesia coming after Sister John Rhodes, I think many may remember the Rhodes Scholarship. So that's the person who came up with the name Rhodesia. His last name, then he just added IA to his last name to become Rhodesia. So Rhodesia became a colony of Britain. And from then, things just changed and went the other way. So around Zimbabwe, we have countries like Mozambique, Zambia, Botswana, and South Africa. Interestingly, Zimbabwe and Zambia and Malawi were once one federal state. Then they got split up again. Then Zimbabwe stood on its own, Zambia on the northern part. Then we have Zambia also on the northeastern part. So people in Zimbabwe mainly speak Shona, that's the main language, and there is also Ndebele. The British left behind a legacy for speaking English. That's the way they wanted things to happen. And they also came up with Christianity as a religion to introduce to the people of Zimbabwe. When the economy was still good over there in Zimbabwe, the national policy was that no one would get a job if they did not pass English and math in high school. So the way the system was designed was in such a way that the British were training the local people for them to know just the basics, like to help with office jobs, to help with maybe teaching kids in school, helping with just clerical jobs. And they did not allow people actually to go past high school. They would make sure they would find them some vocational training or any other basic training that made it possible for lives to continue happening, but they did not want them to be in other top-notch professions like medicine, accountancy, engineering, many other top-notch professions. They did not allow them to do that because a dangerous person could be deemed an educated African in that environment. So they did not allow people to pass a certain grade according to their assessments and according to their comfort level. So that's how most people would go to school, but they would be stopped at a certain level so that they could not proceed to the next stage. As we speak today, the population of Zimbabwe is roughly 20 million people. But from the 20 million people, a lot have left the country because, ironically, when we got our independence in 1980, things were just okay for the first 10 years when the new government got into power. But just after the first 10 years, the government that we thought was going to be liberating us, was going to help us celebrate our independence, actually imprisoned us in a lot of ways. There's a lot of wealth in Zimbabwe. It's a country that has a lot of diamonds, gold, and many other valuable resources that can be traded on global markets. But when those are traded, normally they end up in private pockets. Some of the money siphoned out of the country, it never finds its way back into Zimbabwe. So you'll find the infrastructure that was left behind by the colonial legacy is falling apart. And everybody's wondering what's going on. This country has a lot of assets, a lot of minerals, but how come they don't really get to work for the economy or to create industries or to boost the economy so that people can have jobs and decent housing? It doesn't work like that because we have a dictatorship. So in a dictatorship, you can vote as many times as you want, but you will never get to win the election. Everything is so biased and there's a lot of corruption instilling the elections so that the ruling party continues to dominate the people as they suffer more and more. And there's also lack of freedom, lack of democracy that makes people want to leave the country as fast as they can. So before I go deeper into my description and discussion about Zimbabwe, I want to play the first song from one of my best musicians. His name is Thomas Mapfumo. He's going to play a song called Chipata Pata.
Yeah.
That was Thomas Mafumo and the song Chipata Pata. A few interesting factoids about this musician. He's now based in Eugene, Oregon, and he still plays this kind of music. He introduced what we call the Chimurenga or revolutionary music during the war when we're fighting the colonial system. So when independence came, he continued still to call out corruption, to call out and bad governance and stuff. And he ended up in trouble, so he had to leave Zimbabwe. Ended up in Eugene, Oregon, but he still plays this music. I first saw this musician when he was playing when I was in first grade on my father's shoulders as he performed at a park event sometime around late 70s. Right, so the song that he just sang about Chipata Pata means imagine happiness, imagine people getting what they need, food, clothes, housing. What kind of life would that be? I mean, people just being kind to each other, being nice to each other. Wouldn't it be a better world without guns, without people fighting each other for no reason, yelling at each other and so forth? So he sings about kindness. Let's be kind and let's be tender and gentle to each other so we can live a better life. So for those just joining us, you're listening to the Global Sales Show on KBOO Portland. And I want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44-321. So for those just joining us, you're just into a discussion about Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is a country in Southern Africa, so now I'm just about to talk about culture, the culture in Zimbabwe. The culture in Zimbabwe is all about people being respectful to each other. That's the most important thing. People are taught to be patient, especially with strangers. Be patient to the person next to you who seems or looks like a stranger because you're a stranger somewhere. So you need to be humble and you need to be very helpful as you attend to a stranger. People must always be kind and generous, and people are trained to be happy. Community is everything. You cannot do anything without a community. So you belong to the community and you are owned by the community. So for example, even if you are serving food, your facial expressions will mean a lot to the person who's gonna eat your food. If you serve food with a sad face, nobody's going to eat your food because you are not happy. you're serving the food with a sad face. We don't know what's in your food. Or maybe you don't want us to eat your food. That's why you are not happy. So nobody's going to eat the food of somebody with a heavy heart. So that's the standard point. As we are raised to grow up, we are taught a lot of other different things. You're a person because of those around you. Be mindful of other people's interests. Don't hate others. Be a person. It takes a village to raise a child. You become a child of the community and you must stay accountable. The person who looks older than you is a respectable person. It's like in the military, when you see even a sergeant or a major from a different town, you just respect them because they look older than you. So we're taught to respect elders and the disabled among us. We also should try to be out of trouble as much as we can, so we can also stay out of jail. Respect holy places and save yourself and save your life through respecting holy places. Curiosity could get you in trouble. Normally, it's the curious animal that collects most arrows from the hunters. So do not be curious in a dangerous way. Be curious in questions. Yes, that's fine. Curiosity could mark intelligence because you're trying to know stuff, but don't be curious in terms of trying to go to prohibited places. Don't be a trespasser. Do not question elderly advice, so we are taught as we grow up. Before I go deeper, I'm going to introduce you to my second song. The song is called Kamburumbude by Oliver Mtukudzi.
Ongorora bode
Oh, that was Oliver Tuku Mtukudzi, another prominent late musician from Zimbabwe. He sings about Kamburu Bude. That means in our language, if you want to be looking smart facially, also be smart intellectually and be of service to the people. You can't claim to be smart when you can't do good to the people. It doesn't help anybody. That's how he sings. So in our language, normally when people sing, they are sending different kinds of messages, but using different words. So you have to go deeper. Sometimes they are singing riddles. Sometimes they are singing in proverbs, just to send a message. They do that because free speech sometimes is not easy to come to the table. So they have to sing with some wisdom in it, but you have to break it down, break the cryptic puzzles for you to understand what they are talking about. So people can enjoy the music, that's one. Then you can still go deeper and still try to understand what they're talking about. So that was Tuku with Oliver with the song Kamburumbude. If you're just joining us, welcome to the Global Cell show on KBOO Portland. We are funded by you, the listener, and if you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. For those just joining us, you were in the middle of a discussion about the culture in Zimbabwe. So now I'm just going to talk about what we eat in Zimbabwe. We eat lots of meat, beef, chicken, goat meat, lamb, and fish. Of course, we're in a landlocked situation, so most of our fish is imported. We have one major lake in the country. It's called Lake Kariba. That's where most of the fish is coming from if it's not imported. So with that kind of meat variety comes a staple called sadza. It's prepared from cornmeal. It's a thick porridge that turns into a thickened part that becomes sadza. It would be like, it would look like mashed potato, but it's harder than that. So in southern Africa, South Saharan, a number of countries would eat the same kind of stuff, but they have different names for it. Some call it ugali, some call it gali, some call it pap, but we call it sadza. That's the main staple. You cannot go to bed without eating that. That defines what you, the real food for the real Zimbabwean person. So it's served with different kinds of soups and meats, and you can do barbecue. Then you just serve the sadza to come with the barbecue. So from the food, we now go to the celebrations. The celebrations that we normally have in Zimbabwe, we start from the New Year's Day, 1st of January. Then we come to other Christian holidays like Easter. Then we also honor some Muslim holidays because we have a small fraction of our population is Muslim, so they also honor thus that religion. Then we also have our independence around April 18, then Heroes Day. Then we move down to Christmas would be the major event in Zimbabwe. So when Christmas comes, we would call it real Christmas. From the 24th of December, all businesses come to a standstill. We only have like just the major supermarkets just selling food, but most of the industry and many other functions have closed down from 24 December all the way to January the 2nd. That's when business resumes. So when Christmas time comes in Zimbabwe, the situation is that most people are in urban areas doing some jobs or taking care of other things, running their businesses in the urban areas. But when Christmas comes, everybody goes to the village home. So most people have two homes, the village home and the urban home. You could be in Eugene, you could be in Portland, you could be wherever you are across the country doing business, wherever you are. But when Christmas time comes, you go to the village. That's when people catch public transport. Those with cars just get on their cars to go to the village, and you just don't come to the village empty-handed. You bring groceries, you bring in something to drink, you bring in a lot of goodies so people can share and have a good time. It's like party time for 7 days non-stop, and there is not nowhere like gate crashing. When you hear some good music, you just walk in there and you become part of the party people. When you hear people singing or dancing, you just join them. Nobody asks you questions like, who are you? How do you know this family? No, there are no questions asked. You just jump in and have a good time. If you feel like the food is running low, the drinks are running low, you are free to dash to the nearest convenience store to replenish those drinks. You are thanked for your service and you still continue doing the same thing. So that's how people spread kindness and generosity. So for the first 3 days running into Christmas, it's all joy, food and drink, dancing, partying. All night long, people are just having a good time. Then 25, 26, by the 27th, they're trying to recover and just trying to, you know, sober up and do some other stuff as they meet and greet and just do their family reunion stuff. That's when you can actually sit down and get to introduce cousins, nephews, and many other people. You got to reconnect somehow. Then you talk about family business. If anybody's a troublemaker between the 28th and the 1st of January, that's when you get told, like, okay, you've been committing a lot of trouble, or why are you still going to jail? Why are you getting arrested? Many other people will come after you just to try to polish up your character. So that's how the situation goes in our country. You respect everyone who comes to you with advice, and you don't have to listen to advice only from your family members, because when you get into the village, you're a village child. Everybody owns you. You lose your rights as a child. Anybody who looks older or more senior than you has something to offer to you in terms of advice. People feel unified and inspired to go and meet their family in the village. And in Zimbabwe, the word family doesn't mean just your siblings. Family means anybody with your last name is your family. And the word cousin doesn't exist. If you see somebody who looks like a man, that's your brother. If it looks like a lady, that's your sister. So that's how people get bonded and tied together. So they fight for each other. They defend each other. And an injury to one is an injury to all. Those with cars are free to give anybody a ride as long as they are going the same direction. No questions asked. If you have space, you gotta give them a ride. You feel happy in giving. You feel good in just sharing whatever you have. That's the way people have been raised, and that's the way people get united and feel for each other. And they also have to feel like they are obliged to defend each other. So that's the village life. It's just happiness, food, drink, and dance. So I'm going to take you to our third song by Andy Brown. This song is titled Ndodzungaira.
Nine.
That was Andy Brown, one of the youngest musicians who just left us a few years ago. He used to play a mixture of reggae, funk. He would play different kinds of music, but he was such a talented guitarist. So this song that she just presented, Ndozungera, means if you cannot be productive, that you then you may end up just feeling like you are worthless. Because at least everybody is born with a talent. So if you have your talent, show it. Just put some effort to know who you are and what you can do for the community. At least you can feel good that way, because life is too short. That's what he's talking about. So for those just joining us, you're listening to the Global Cell Show on KBOO Portland. I want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please share your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44-321. So I was once talking about Christmas time in Zimbabwe, where people have to move from the urban areas to go and do some family reunions in the village. It's so interesting how people travel. Most people would rather be on the bus, on the public bus, because there's a lot happening on the public bus. Some opt to be just passengers standing on the bus. Some take seats, of course, but there's a lot of storytelling on the bus. Especially during the time when I was growing up in Zimbabwe, before all these smoking regulations came by to protect people's health, people would just be doing whatever they wanted to do on the bus. You could just smoke on the bus, drink on the bus, change diapers for the kids, babies on the bus. Anything could happen on the bus. People just talking, drinking, eating. It was just like a mobile theater of just anything. Sometimes people would feel uncomfortable, but some would be enjoying sometimes, especially when there was a good storyteller on the bus. Some could even bring their own goats on the bus, because as long as it was okay for somebody to pay for that goat to be on the bus, it can join us on the bus. You can bring your chicken on the bus. So people would call those buses chicken buses, because anything could happen on the bus. But it was fun just to travel for those 2 hours or 3 hours, because the bus stops every 2 miles. It stops and drops someone or picks the next person and so forth. But of significance there is the storytelling part. People would just enjoy just listening to stories on the bus, and some would even miss their destinations just to wait for that story to finish. And they would wish, oh, I wish you could be quicker in telling these stories so that I can meet my destination. But if the story is not taking long enough to get to the punchline, they may miss their destination, drop by the next station, because the story is too good. So that's the life. People would just be drinking, eating, and laughing, and that made life. While people may think maybe Africa is poor, yes, people are in poverty sometimes, but you don't feel it when you're in Africa, because there is a lot of things that take away your stress. Laughter. If you have good food and you have good clothes and you have a roof above your head, I think life is complete in our little world. So you come to Africa feeling comfortable because you have those things, food, clothes, and a house. You feel rich in your little space. Then you come to America. Of course, it's relative. We talk about people having their own stuff, but then they have also their own issues. So it's a different world, different combinations. Some have joy in those little things. Some have joy in bigger things. Some want to have yachts. Some want to have rockets that go to the moon. They feel rich and wealthy that way. But in the African context, just a plate of that sardine I was talking about and a good piece of beef well done, that's good enough to complete somebody's world. Then you top up that with maybe a glass of a good beverage or anything. It makes somebody's world complete. Frost that with some good story. Completes my whole world. I think I'll feel like I'm in heaven. That's how life goes in Africa. So in the village, there are two forms of entertainment. when it's August time, it's the dry season. People have finished harvesting their crops. So grandmas sit down with the little kids to tell them folklore stories. That's where they do like the Disney World kind of concepts, where they talk about animals, giving life to the animals like they talked. Or once in a while, once upon a time, when the elephant used to talk, when the lions used to talk, when Mufasa used to talk, they tell children those stories. So children have a wonderful time listening to those stories nonstop all night until they fall in their mother's laps while they listen to those stories. They can even ask questions, and grandmas keep talking about those stories. And with those stories also emerge some lessons for these children to be honest, not to cheat, not to steal, because at the end of the story there is something to learn. Rabbit fell into trouble because he did not understand what was going on and all that. So they just try to bring the theme that be honest, be loyal, be humble, don't brag, just be yourself and be kind to the next person. That's how the African folklore goes. So when we see like in the Disney concept, when animals talk and all this, it resonates with what our bringing was about, just animals just living in a kingdom where they spoke, related to each other, and felt good about life. So when adults are doing this storytelling to these children, adults can also take a side and have their own kind of fun. They can play cowhide drums, dance a lot in their own space, sing and dance, and they can play some instruments, but they also have adult drinks over there and have a good time. So everybody's having a good time. There's nobody who's scratching the other or trying to make trouble or trying to run into each other's face or something like that. Everybody's just being peaceful and considerate, and life goes on in the village. So whatever happens, be it from whichever biggest city in the world you are in, when Christmas time comes or when August comes, most people feel like, oh, let me go back to the watering hole. We call it the watering hole, where everybody meets, because that's where life began. That's where people feel comfortable. They talk about themselves. They reflect upon their childhood experiences and also want to share those with their children so that they can appreciate their roots. That's basically life in the village. It's all about good food, healthy eating, just having a good time, and laughter is everything. The stories make life roll. So besides that, when people are during the farming season in the village, people normally help each other, like to go work on certain crops in somebody's field. Then they take turns to change roles so that they can help each other until all tasks are complete and they feel good. They cooperate, just working together like cooperatives, doing farming and many other tasks so that things can be done efficiently together, as you sing, as you talk, as you tell stories, while you take care of business in the fields until things get well done. So that's the life in the village. And also, if somebody is in the village, there are some rules also to be followed. So, like, people have their own places where they respect their ancestry. They respect, they have holy places too. Sometimes they have sanctuaries, they have places where you are not supposed to go, and you don't question, like, why am I not supposed to be going that way? When elders say don't go to that hill at night, or don't do this, don't do that, you just have to listen. We also have a lot of respect for family cemeteries. So, like, if somebody were to die wherever in any part of the world, people in my village would prefer that the body is brought home so that they can be laid to rest in the family cemetery. So in the family cemetery, you can tell who was who based on the history of those people and the families. You can easily track who was who, like the family tree and so forth. But the one other rule for those family cemeteries is that you need to respect the family cemeteries. You don't go jog in the family cemetery. You don't go taunt at the graves or make fun of the inscriptions on those graves. We are taught you attract so many misfortune. They will punish you for laughing at them, even if they are dead. That's just a belief that people just need to respect the dead to rest. So we don't really tamper around with cemetery areas. Right. So besides that, everything else. You can visit the cemeteries with the elders. You can do our ceremonies to remember them once in a while. That happens, but we most of the times we respect cemeteries. So right now I'm going to just share with you another song from Zimbabwe. This song is sang by a man named Simon Chimbetu. The song is titled Mudzimai.
Thank you.
That was Simon Chimbetu with his song Mudzimai. This song is all about family. It talks about if we keep our families together, we can do more. The mom can prepare food for the family, and everybody has to eat and be thankful that we have food, and we can enjoy each other's company and be good and kind to each other. What more if we feed the neighbors and feed the dogs and feed everyone? Wouldn't it be a better place for this world that everybody is fed, no one goes to bed hungry, everybody has a warm bath and you sleep comfortably well, nobody cares about taking somebody's property? Wouldn't that be a better world? That's what he's talking about here. He used to be one of the most prominent musicians in my country until he passed on a few years ago again. So for those just joining us, you are listening to the Global Sales Show on KBOO Portland. I want to remind you that KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform. That means we are funded by you, the listener. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44-321. I was talking about the culture in Zimbabwe. In the Zimbabwean context, we cry and laugh together, and we carry each other in the face of danger, threats, or grief. Elders are respected, and their word is a command. They are only challenged when they sound abusive. That's when somebody has to let somebody know that time to stand up, and we challenge authority. It hardly happens in some cases, but when people feel like this is abuse, well, then time to stand up. We owe each other some respect, and we must choose our words carefully so that we can enjoy each other's company. If we misbehave, the village elders will come after us. Where words fail, sometimes maybe punishment or sanctions could follow. Food, drinks, and accommodation must be generously shared. And when you eat at my house, I don't have to register it on a ledger like, okay, they ate at my place on this day, so they owe me a meal. We don't function like that. We get more joy and happiness by letting people eat in our house than us eating in their house. So there's more joy in giving than in receiving. That's the trend. And favors are not recorded. We just do each other favors as we go. We believe if you do somebody a favor right now, maybe tomorrow somebody's going to do you a favor. And just doing somebody a favor is opening a door for more blessings to come your way, because you've just been good. That's how our culture works. So in terms of schools in Zimbabwe, we have our primary schools. We have kindergarten, then we have primary school, then we have high school. Then you go to college. That's basically how the system works. So from kindergarten to high school, you wear uniforms. So the trick behind uniforms is that every school has its own school colors. You pick your own school colors for your school. But if you're found in town, say you are in the middle of school hours and you're just walking in town, any parent, even a stranger, can just question you like, why are you in town this hour? If these are school hours, why are you in town? They can question you. They can even drag you to the school, because those school blazers have some inscription for the name of the school where you go. They can drag you to that school and actually surrender you to the school principal. Like, they are in town, they are not supposed to be in town. They're supposed to be in school. So that's the concept, like it takes a village to raise a child, because the person who asks you about your whereabouts or why you are here or what you're doing does not even know you, but they're just concerned. It used to be the culture back in the day, like every parent, every adult is responsible, is concerned about a child in school colors. Even if you are drinking or smoking, they have the right to stop you and question you, why are you drinking? Why smoking? You cannot raise the question, are you my parent? No, you don't ask that. You actually have to apologize and explain yourself. That's how the school system works. So once you're surrendered in the school system, the principal and the parents and many other people will take charge of you. So when there are some weddings and funerals, these are considered community projects. We celebrate weddings and we mourn at funerals as a community. There are no special invitations that come with funerals or with weddings. You just show up, dress properly, and be respectful, enjoy the event or share grief with the bereaved, and stay respectful. Invitations, yes, they're just meant to remind you that there will be a funeral or a wedding at such and such a day, but they do not really affect your presence at the very day. They are just meant to remind you, just save the date. They are not like to be strictly by seating arrangements or anything like that. Of course, there are special guests, like for weddings, yes, we have special guests. But for funerals, everybody's welcome. The more the merrier. We carry each other's grief and we do some counseling on each other and we help each other carry the burden. Any crowd gathering attracts more people, even walking by, people will just join in to mourn with you or to celebrate with you. Food and drinks get served. No need to explain how you connect with the wedding couple or the bereaved people. You are just welcome for your support and your presence in the midst of this event. People freely bring more drinks and food, and that's the way it is. And people have so much joy in just being together, crying together, laughing together, singing together, or more storytelling. That's how people just connect with each other. In terms of politics in Zimbabwe, it's a really sensitive issue because there is no democracy in my country, to be honest. That's why I'm also a refugee in this nation, because of the situation back home. Of course, there are some people who may think, oh, the system is doing well. I don't agree with that, because a lot of people have left the country because of disgruntlement over lack of freedom, lack of democracy, stolen elections, many other things that happened there that caused a lot of injury to a lot of people. Like, for example, the public health system is in shambles. The hospitals have no equipment. The roads are broken. Bridges are broken. No repairs. The water is terrible and a lot of power cuts. So added to that, then there is abuse of uniformed forces to suppress bread riots and many other things. People get arrested, they are thrown into jail, no trial. You can be detained without trial and spend some months or years without knowing why you were arrested. It happens a lot of times. So people live in a lot of discomfort, and people just end up just leaving the country so that they can find peace and freedom wherever they can be. So besides that bad part of Zimbabwe where the government has messed up the people's freedom, the other things are still in a good place, where people can still remind themselves that we have a culture, we owe each other some kindness, we owe each other some duty for accountability, we owe each other support, and we must be good to each other so that we can move on. Besides the corruption by the government, besides the grief that the government causes on the people, and besides the lack of accountability. So that's Zimbabwe. People are just being happy, but of course they have their own causes of stress through the government. We have actually, unfortunately, come to the end of our show. So as I head out, I wanted to thank you all for listening to my discussion about Zimbabwe. I'm sure there was one or two things you may have learned about my experiences in Zimbabwe. Again, I'm TK Kapura, your host on the Global Cell. Please tune in on the first Wednesday of each month at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Until we meet again in the month of February, have a great evening. Adios, Tonana Tatenda. I'll leave you with a song by a man named John Chibadura. The song is called Janet. Thank you for listening. Bye. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Demento. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you a fan of early rock and roll, doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and 70s rock? If so, The Roots of Rock and Roll is the show for you, and KBOO Portland is the place to be Friday afternoons at 3. Dale Farr will give you a history lesson from the birth of rock and roll through the 50s and 60s. And Ray Bodwell will mine the 60s and 70s for the deep cuts, hidden gems, and variety that you won't hear on generic classic rock stations. So tune in to The Roots of Rock and Roll, Fridays at 3 p.m. on KBOO Portland, your community radio station.
The following program is a used but still listenable edition of Drinking from Puddles. Any references to dates or events are in the past and